Welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. We are glad you've joined us today. As always, I am joined here in studio with my amazing co-host, Pam. Pam, it's truly a pleasure to have you in studio. We're back.
And you are an amazing co-host too, Tamara, and it's good to be back.
Amazing squared. We're here to talk about the dangers of wrong voices. And Proverbs 5, chapters 5 through 7 reads like a spiritual warning system. These chapters use the image of the seductress as a symbol of anything that pulls us off God's path. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be a thought, a temptation, a habit, an environment, a desire, or an opportunity that seems attractive but leads to spiritual decline. Temptation is not merely about behavior. It is about misdirected worship. The Bible consistently teaches that sin does not first appeal to our will, but to our affections. The seductress imagery in Proverbs chapters 5 through 7 reveals how temptation works at the level of desire, drawing the heart away from God by offering counterfeit satisfaction. What stands out is how subtle distraction can be. The wrong voice often begins softly, appealing to emotions, curiosity, or pressure before it begins shaping decisions. But Proverbs does not leave us defenseless. It shows us how wisdom sharpens discernment, exposing deception and illuminating truth. It teaches us that boundaries are not burdens. They are protection. Purity is not merely moral behavior. It is alignment with God's heart. Today, we step into these chapters to understand how wisdom protects us, how discernment keeps us aligned, and how God equips us to recognize and reject the voices that threaten our peace, purpose, and spiritual direction. So it's that time now. Get your coffee, your tea, and your hazelnut latte. And join Pam and I as we continue in the book of Proverbs, chapters 5 through 7. What does the seductive voice in Proverbs chapters 5 through 7 symbolize, and how this imagery illustrate the nature of temptation?
Seduction. The seductive voice is also symbolic, Tamara. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's anything that draws you away from the wisdom of God and make you think it is good. Mm-hmm. And that's what temptation does. It whispers.
Yes.
It's not loud. James said we are tempted because we are drawn to that thing, that lust, that thing that's inside of us. Mm-hmm. And so when we allow temptation to take root, we talked about the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the gateway to the heart. When we allow the things to come in that does not please God, then we fall into temptation.
Yes.
And so we have to be very careful of the seductive voices. And like I said, it's not just sexual sin, but it's anything that draws us away from God and makes us feel like it's good. It's no big deal. Nothing would happen if I do this or do that. It's okay.
It's a drawing away of the heart to something deceptive, right? Mm-hmm. It disguises itself. You know, I'm going to get relief or satisfaction or I have to do this. It's necessary for me to go this way or to engage in this activity. And so we're basically drawn away by the deep desires in our own hearts. You know, the word says, when we're drawn away by the desires of our hearts, that's how sin enters our lives. And there's a way of escape, you know. The Lord helps us with that. But temptation can be so strong. Seduction is a slow process. Sometimes it doesn't come at you abruptly. It's a lure.
It's sweet. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. For the lips of the adulterous woman drips honey, And her speech is smooth like oil, slippery. Mm-hmm. It's sweet. It looks good.
Yeah.
That thing that you desire, it could be money. The temptation is there and you give in.
Yeah.
I got the money to get the things that I want, but don't think about the consequences, about adultery. Her lips, like honey, yeah. You know, it looks good. You flirt with it, right? You're spending time with this person that you probably shouldn't be spending time. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But if you follow through, we read in verse 4, but in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. That's what temptation does. When we give into it, it seems sweet at first. Wisdom is, I'm going to wait on God, pray and wait. Mm-hmm. Then on the other side, distraction may be, I'm going into this. God brought this into my lap. I'm going into this. I'm moving forward with it. Both of them, wisdom and distraction or temptation, seem good initially, eh? Yeah. On the same path.
Yes.
But the outcomes are always
different.
Different.
You know, the scripture said there is a way that seems right to a man,
but the end thereof
is destruction.
Is destruction.
Yeah. We're drawn away in our own desires. And we have these conversations in our head. We rationalize why the decision that we're about to make is the right one. And in that rationalization, we kind of quiet the voice mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of wisdom and of truth. We kind of grieve him because we're so bent on having this desire, having this, whatever the purpose may be. It could be trying to climb the corporate ladder or some level of success you want to achieve. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying you're going about it the wrong way. And he's giving us the advice from the word on how to prioritize the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. But we do it the opposite way. You know, we're drawn away by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When we fail to adhere to the warning signs.
That's it.
That the Lord has given to us. And we step over the boundaries. And then we lose that protection because we're walking in disobedience and rebellion. You know, that to me is a frightful place to be as a believer. We are determined that we want to have it our way. And so when the guardrails are let down and we're left to our own devices, we're screaming at the end, woe is me, for I am now undone. And so we're self-deceived in some cases.
Yeah.
When we get into these situations of seduction or being lured away by temptation, we need not only the word, but we need wise counsel.
Yeah.
In the abundance of counsel, the word says there is safety. And so what the enemy does not want us to do is to receive those wise counsel. We tend to do these things in the quietness of our own hearts. We steal away and make these decisions. Nobody knows. You know how many times we hear a church leader fall through either sexual temptation or some fraud case with finances or whatever. And we are stunned because not that one, surely, because we have this image of that person. And surely, based on how they present the word, based on, you know, their family life and so forth, how is it that it could happen to them? But when the story unfolds, we hear about a very quiet, drawn away life that most people didn't know, even though some people may have seen some things or even warned of some things.
And see, you mentioned the word warned. Throughout the Bible, throughout Proverbs, God sent warnings. And warnings are not to restrict us, but warning is about freedom. Right? When you are doing what God called you to do, you don't have to be secretive.
No.
You do it in the open. You're not perfect, but you're living a life that's committed to God and trying your best to walk in his will and his way. See, without wisdom, we will fall. If you're driving tomorrow and you see a sign, danger, do not enter, you're going to drive into that path or on that path.
Warning sign is there.
Normally we won't do that, right? We will go the other way. But for some reason, we as humans don't look at life like that. God has given warning signs throughout this proverb, this passage of scripture, Proverbs chapters 5-7. He says, don't go next to her. Turn the other way. Run the other way. Yes. He's giving us warning, not because he wants to punish us or he wants to hold us back, but he wants the best for us. And he knows if we heed to his warning, then we will have a successful life. Yes. And that's where wisdom come in, to be in his word and discipline. Discipline to know God's word and to live according to the principles of God's word.
Yeah, wisdom calls us to submit our desire to God's mm-hmm. will, right? It tells us we need to be rooted, be submerged, be knowledgeable mm-hmm. of what God requires of us as believers. And when that is happening, then we can apply it in the situation that we're in. And sometimes you're in situations you never believe in your life you'll be in.
Yep.
But because you're connected to the Holy Spirit, he's helping you to make wise decisions. You can, and sometimes making the right wise decision may be costly.
Yep.
However, if you're entrusting yourself to the Lord, you know that he will keep you, he will provide for you, and he will open doors for you. Many people, when they speak up for wrongdoing, injustices, they're ostracized, criticized. Sometimes they lose contracts, they lose business, so forth, and they're penalized for it. But when you do the right thing according to God's standard, there is safety, and he will fight your battles on your behalf. We just have to believe that and not walk in foolishly and disobedience to God's word and his will. Because, mind you, when temptation comes, you said it feels sweet in the moment, right?
It definitely is.
It appeals to our flesh. And we already know in the word, the flesh cannot please God. It cannot obey God. But it appeals to our mind, our emotions. You know, it connects us to this. It's not reality. It's like a fantasy world. And we're looking at it as if this is going to go well for me.
And when you flirt with it, that's when you get in trouble.
Right.
He says he provided a way of escape for us. So we're all going to be tempted tomorrow because we are human. And there are things that we desire. We like success. We want to have a good life, a good family life. We all have desires. And so there are going to be things that tempt us. But God has said that he has provided a way of escape. So we are going to experience temptation. But God has already provided the way of escape. And that's why we have to be anchored in him and our lives have to be aligned with him. So that when the temptation comes, we don't give in. We don't have to think about it because we are preparing even before that we can get an escape.
And you have to examine the heart. You know, sometimes an opportunity may present itself and it may be something you desire, you want to do. And what I do is I don't say yes right away. I try to deny or say no at first and deal with the Lord on what my heart was telling me concerning it.
Be anxious for nothing. So if something comes up, you don't need to.
Yeah.
You have time to pause if it's only for 5 minutes and say, God, guide me.
Yeah, and the pride of life sneaks in, right? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, if I do this, then I'll be seen here, I'll be known here, I'll be this, I'll be that, which is, we know, is a temptation from the enemy. We know when he tempted Jesus, he took him on the pinnacle and said, look,
all of this.
All.
You could have it.
And he owned it all. Yeah. I mean, I still don't get it, right? The creator of the entire universe, you're offering what already belongs to. But anyway, he tempted with that. And so I normally said, Lord, no, I see what my thought process is with that. So I'm going to stay here until you correct that.
Yeah.
And then now let me see you in it. Let me see how I'm going to glorify you in it. Let me see what you are leading me to. And if he gives me that peace and he shows me how he wants me to glorify him in it, it's easier then for me to walk in it. But I try not to just jump because pride will settle in. And then when you take the first step, mm-hmm. you're taking it for the wrong reason.
Yeah. And see, wisdom doesn't wait for the fall. It prepares you to recognize
that there is.
That this is going to be destruction
yes.
at the end of the way. And we talked about it in our previous podcast, reminding our audience that this is the year of wisdom, but we talk about discernment.
Yes.
Asking God to help you to discern when people approach you or situations that are not in your best interest.
Yeah.
And so wisdom is that preparation for us to identify and know that this thing that's coming here is not of God. And it's like you said, wait, be patient, seek Him before you make the move.
Yeah. Pam, scripture teaches us to evaluate life, not merely by the immediate experience, but by our ultimate destination. And wisdom and distraction may both promise satisfaction, but only one is rooted in truth and leads to life. And God calls His people to live with the end in view. So how do we, and we contrasting wisdom versus distraction, what are some of the outcomes? We touched on it a bit, but what are some of the outcomes of wisdom versus following distraction?
Okay. So I want to read a few scriptures to support that. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 7. Let's start from 25, verse 25 to 27. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her path. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. See, temptation is the destination, Tamara, and it always ends, Tamara, in destruction, even if the beginning seems inviting and, like we mentioned, sweet. The destination is temptation, and it will end in destruction. Mm-hmm. So when we go down the path that God has set for us, wisdom, He has success. Not necessarily an easy ride, not necessarily that everything will be perfect. But once we go down that path with God, He knows the end and He has promised that the end will be good. But on the path of temptation and distraction, it's a bitter end.
Yeah. Yeah, and temptation always makes promises it cannot keep. And wisdom, by contrast, it never exaggerates, right? Mm-hmm. It never takes you into this fantasy. It delivers what God Himself has ordained for our good. And the difference lies not in attraction, but in faithfulness. And so following wisdom leads to clarity, stability, and peace. And we all want peace. We all want peace. So not because life is perfect, but because our steps are protected by God. And He loves us. I was sharing with one of my daughters recently. She was at a salon and I was asking her in the evening. It wasn't quite dark yet. I was like, just walk over a few buildings down and I'll pick you up from there. And she was like, no, it was getting dark and I didn't want to make the decision to walk. You know, I'm like, you're 21. You can walk a couple buildings down and still be safe. And she was like, why don't you tell Daddy you're making me walk from this place? And it struck me, Daddy is the protector. And Daddy would not allow her to walk, no matter what age, a few buildings down to make life easier for me to pick her up. And I'm thinking that in the same context that, hey, God is our loving Father.
Yeah.
And He has given us some instruction for our safety. And no matter who entice you or tempt you to do something different, like she said so boldly, my daddy say, like you do anyone. You see, you know, you could get married soon if you want to. But He would not allow me to do it. So the mummy can't tempt me to do anything different. And I put that in that the Lord loves us so much that He set boundaries for us. And in His warnings, He gives us the view of what will happen. So you can't say, even like He told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the fruit of this tree. Because if you eat it, you shall surely die. And what did Satan come back and say? Oh, no, that ain't the case. Mm-hmm. You know, and he tempted and seduced Eve to what? Reject what the truth God of God's word and to do something absolutely different. And the end of it, we are all reaping.
And that's the boundaries, Tamara. The boundaries are there to protect us.
Yes.
That's why God has placed boundaries in our lives so that we don't just go out and do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, but to protect us, to cover us, like you say, as our protector.
Right. And in the instance with Adam and Eve, it didn't only impact them, but generations mm-hmm. to come. We don't see that.
No.
When Satan lures us away and seduces us to do something foolish, we're thinking, okay, it's just me. No.
Generations to come. New impact. Look at when we see popular, very well-known, and even sometimes people who are not popular, who fall into the temptation. Their whole lives are destroyed. The Bible says it leads to death. Temptation at the end of the day leads to death. And not just your death, but it affects your family. It affects your livelihood in some cases, right, and those people that are around us.
Right. We read earlier in Proverbs that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Mm-hmm. It shines brighter unto the full day. But when we are led away with our temptations and when we're seduced off that course, there's no brighter and brighter. It's darker and darker. Because we're reading that the one who is lured away by this seductress, foot leads him to hell.
Yeah.
And so we have to now pay attention and be more wise in our decision making, understanding that the impact goes beyond just our little boundaries. It impacts the lives of others.
Yep.
So it's important for us to think about not us. And I think a lot of it is just being purely selfish.
Yeah.
We want to fulfill our own desires and we're not thinking of others. And that's what basically the basis of sin is. It's all about us.
And those boundaries are there to bring clarity to whatever situation that you are dealing with.
Yes.
God loves us.
He does.
And everything he does for us is to help us to live this life better.
And Pam, just talking about boundaries, what does Proverbs chapters 5-7 reveal about the importance of establishing strong boundaries in order to maintain spiritual clarity?
See, boundaries doesn't limit tomorrow our freedom. They preserve the clarity of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And if we live according to the boundaries, the word of God, then he promised there'll be peace, there'll be safety. And like I said, it's not a straight path. It's not perfect. But we have him to travel this path with us. And once we go down the path that he has called us to, then we know in the end. Right now, we may be dealing with issues and it don't feel good, but don't let go of God and don't turn away from the boundaries that he has set for us, because the end will lead to something better.
I feel like boundaries protect our joy. You know, when we're living within the hedges of God's protection, we are in his presence,
mm-hmm.
and in his presence, there's fullness of joy. We are protected. That doesn't mean we wouldn't experience some pain or trial in our life. But in that pain or trial, God is near.
Mm-hmm.
He is close. The Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted and he binds up the wounds.
And we have the assurance that he is near,
yes,
and close to us. That even though you are dealing with this difficult decision to know tomorrow, that there's a God who is walking with you,
yes,
who is protecting you, and to know that God, what I'm going through, you are allowing it,
yes,
and I'm going to try my best to hold on to you is such an assurance. And even in our everyday lives, I was talking to someone this week and I was telling them that, you know, when you go to difficult times and you have family that support you and love you, that help you so much,
yes,
to have the love and support of your family. And I was telling them, so if you're going through something difficult, try to ignore the voices on the outside.
Yes.
Don't worry about them.
Yes.
They don't care about you anyhow.
they don't like you anyhow, right?
But if you have the support of your family, it helps tomorrow. And that's what God is to us. Yes. We have His support on this journey. He is just asking us to discipline ourselves, follow my word, walk in wisdom. And He has assured us that in the end, we're going to be just fine.
I was sharing with my husband maybe last night or a few days ago. I said, boy, I said, when temptation comes, sometimes you have to be like Joseph. Break off running.
Yeah, but see,
guess what? He didn't, you know, Joseph didn't go looking for it. Mm-hmm. It came to him.
Yeah.
Right there.
And what did he do?
Run, like the devil was behind him. So I was sharing that with him. I was like, sometimes he got to take note of Joseph and be a Joseph and break off running because you may put your hedges in place, but sometimes it come right to you, right in your face.
Yeah. If you're a recovering alcoholic, you don't go to the bar and say, I'm going to resist. No, I'm not going. Right?
I don't want.
Exactly. If you know you are a little weak when it comes to spending time with pretty women, lovely women, you don't go
looking for it
in a place with just you and the person.
No.
You run from it.
Yes.
Right? And like we said throughout Proverbs, there are warning signs.
Yes.
It doesn't sneak up on us, you know. It doesn't. Now, the feeling may, because you are drawn to this thing that you lusten for, you may feel, oh, goodness. Ooh, this feels good. What should I do? But you're not, it didn't take you by surprise. You just need discipline and ask God for help. And I was saying to someone this week, look here, doesn't matter what you are going through. When you are going through difficult times, that's the time to run to God.
Yes.
And just ask Him for help. As simple as that.
Yes.
If you say, Lord, help me.
He will.
I promise you, He will. Yes. Just be still for a moment and He will help you.
Yes, Pam. Every warning is an invitation to trust God's wisdom over our impulses.
Yeah.
And obedience keeps us where grace flows freely. At the center of Proverbs chapters 5, 6, and 7 is this truth. What you listen to shapes what you love, and what you love determines where you go. When Christ is treasured, seductive voices lose their appeal, and wisdom becomes not a struggle, but joy. Pam, can you close us in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the clarity and protection found in your word. As we reflect, Father, on Proverbs chapters 5 through 7, we ask for your sharpened discernment, eyes to recognize deception, Father, ears to hear truth, and a heart that stays aligned with you. Father, strengthen our spiritual boundaries and help us to cherish purity of heart as a reflection of our devotion to you. Lord, silence every voice that tries to pull us off course. Expose every counterfeit that disguises itself as good. And Father, fill us with wisdom that preserves our purpose and keeps us walking in righteousness. Let your spirit, Lord, lead us. Let it guide us and let it anchor us in your truth. And Father, may our hearts remain steady, our minds clear, and our spirits sensitive to your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.